Knowledge Fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Kansas. Stop it. Andy and Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about the goings-on in the life of Austin, Texas's own Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan. That was a flourish. That was a delight. In that case, Dan, though, yep. I do have a question for you.
Sure.
What is your bright spot, sir?
My bright spot today is that I was browsing around on the band.video website.
Sure.
Peeking around, poking, trying to find something to cover, and we're not covering this, but this was a bright spot, and that was that Laura Loomer was on the War Room.
Right? Oh,
she had apparently some sort of Project Veritas style video or whatever, but Owen did not put Laura Loomer in the title of the video. He had to refer to as female journalist shows
Get
video
out.
Of Democrats
Come on.
Bragging about election fraud.
Female journalist.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where even like InfoWars is at that very strange point where they're like, all right, you could come on Owen's show,
yeah,
but you're not going in the metadata.
How is it possible that everyone is so toxic that even InfoWars thinks you're too toxic? That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's poisonous.
If I understand that video correctly, too, that I skimmed over, I think she's running for office again.
Yeah, baby!
It's going to be fun.
Fifth time's a charm!
Like I told you, though, the midterm season heating up is like there's going to be some of these weirdos are going to come back out of the woodwork.
Oh, can't wait.
Anyway, what about you?
I as much as I enjoy turning this into a space to harangue you with tennis, I'm going to do so.
It's fine. I've learned to zone out.
Yep, fair enough.
I'm not even here.
That's fine. I'm just going to let you know that I'm very excited. My bright spot today is that Gael Monfils is into the quarterfinals. He's into the second week of the Australian Open, and this is exciting because Gael Monfils is one of the most incredible tennis players. He's just amazing. He's a magic man.
Thrilled.
He can jump. He
Thrilled
can fly.
To hear it.
There's even one time where he dove and then tripped and then hit the winner with his left hand. He switched the tennis racket to the other side.
Dear Lord.
But he's never won a major because he had the misfortune of being born during the time of the three greatest tennis players who have ever lived.
Agassi, Sampras, third guy.
The end. But
McEnroe.
But this is his maybe best chance near the end of his career to win a major finally.
Because Djokovic wouldn't get a vaccine.
Yeah, because Djokovic is gone. Federer's gone. Zverev was just knocked
Where's
out.
Where's Rafa?
Rafa is still coming hard.
Okay.
But, I mean, Monfils has never even made a final before. So this would be exciting, not least of which because if he were to do so, he would be the first black man in almost 50 years to win a major.
Mm.
50 years! And it has been, he's one of those guys who has always had the talent to do it.
Right.
You know, if he were born in an era without the three greatest tennis players of all time.
Sure.
He would have had two or three majors.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with a lot of people who played basketball in the time of Jordan.
Totally.
You know, like,
totally.
You're all fucked.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's a bummer. Yeah. You were great, but fuck off. You know, that kind of thing.
You would have had championships in other times.
Yeah, totally.
It's just, unfortunately.
Right. Mm. Well, I mean, when you figure, like, between Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic, there are 60 total majors. That's 15 years worth of majors that are just knocked off the face of the planet.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy when you stop to think about it.
We gotta rid this monopolistic
I mean,
tennis.
It's time for them to go.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm excited. I hope he takes it. It's something I'm rooting for.
Hurrah.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over, but it's a little off the beaten trail. Not necessarily as off the trail as Project Camelot.
Sure.
Although I did watch an episode where Carrie interviewed a psychic in preparation for this. But I just, it wasn't good enough.
It wasn't good enough?
It wasn't weird enough. It was just like,
right.
The psychic was just saying that everyone's dead and been replaced by clones.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, apparently Oprah was killed in 2008. It has been a clone ever since.
It hasn't
Sometimes
affected us.
There are multiple clones of people running around.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, this isn't psychic as much as it is just QAnon shit.
Yeah.
And so what we got going on is that at the end of last week, Alex had a bit of a family court day on Thursday, and then Friday you'd expect you would come into the show with a head of steam.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty excited for the possibility of that. Doesn't come in on Friday.
Of course
not. Owen Troyer comes in and does his show.
Naturally.
So I was like, well, we have no current stuff. And then on Saturday, Alex dropped a little gem right into our little plates.
Okay.
That is a emergency Saturday broadcast.
Sure,
that,
it's an emergency,
right? And so we'll take a look at that and see why there was an emergency, why he needed to record this. But before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
That's a great idea.
So first, Ziggy Stardad, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Sarah W. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Next, your Uncle Matt and Sleepy Margaret. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, your Uncle Matt and Sleepy Margaret.
Next, Carrie and Marshall. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Samantha P. from Algonquin, Illinois. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Samantha.
And this one I feel bad about.
Uh-oh.
We may or may not have given this shout out at the time, but it
okay.
was quite a while ago.
Okay.
And it turns out that maybe if we didn't, we should have been more punctual about this because happy birthday, Nikki.
I'm a policy wonk.
You're not a policy wonk.
Happy birthday.
In honor of us possibly being late, here you go.
Okay.
Being born is a condition that leads to death. You could say that life is a disease that ends in death.
That's heavy. So, Jordan, today.
Yes, Dan.
January 22nd, Saturday's date.
Date?
Look, I have got a... I've been struggling this weekend with, like, I slept on my neck wrong.
Right.
And it's been throwing everything off. Like, it's hard to sleep.
Yep.
It hurts to stand up.
It's no, the worst.
Not to be standing, but to the act of standing
up. Yeah.
It's just, it's miserable. So if I'm a little wee-wee.
Oh,
little
no.
Loopy.
I've got football injuries to my back that have bothered me for 15 years. So, yeah, I'm with you.
I wish this had bothered me for 15 years because then I'd be used to it.
I wish. I wish I had ongoing chronic pain.
No. I'm not sincere. I apologize if I've offended anybody with chronic pain. So we start off here. Alex has some big news.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real, though.
Oh.
It's Saturday, January 22nd, 2022, and we have got an incredible news alert for you today. Three huge stories. First off, it's now official. All over the world, whether you are in Europe or Canada or the United States or the UK,
all four of the places in the world
are announcing an end to the mask. And the checkpoints and the vaccine passport systems on your phones and moves for forced inoculation. Just a week ago, they were saying they have to start forced inoculations in Europe door to door on February 1st. But suddenly, all these different government institutions, all the different medical systems, the CDC here in the United States, the National Health Service in the UK, they all came out simultaneously from Ireland to the United States and said, you know what? We're just ending all of the restrictions.
That is an amazing way for Alex to start this show, and that would be a massive news alert.
Huge news.
And if you pay attention to the way he operates with his narratives, this, I think, is a huge indication that he's looking for an off-ramp from the COVID hysteria and all those associated storylines that have dominated the show for the last 2 years. I'm going to attempt to lay out the picture of what I mean by this, and I'm going to start by addressing the reality and falsity of the news that Alex is covering. Mostly, this has to do with Boris Johnson announcing that England had reached a peak in terms of Omicron and that COVID-related restrictions were going to be eased this coming Monday. Granted, according to CBS, quote, the restrictions being lifted on Monday in England were some of the least stringent imposed across Europe to counter the Omicron wave. But even so, this is one of the countries that Alex thinks is the most important in the world, so this is a major shift.
Right.
And worth discussing.
Right. Boris Johnson says, please stop paying attention to that whole party thing that I had.
We're going to get to that.
Everybody is just not stopping paying attention to.
We're going
to
get to that.
Yeah.
So Alex is reporting this as the NHS giving this advice, and there's a lot of messiness surrounding that. Matthew Taylor, the CEO of the NHS Confederation, the organization that represents the healthcare entities that provide services for the NHS, said, quote, the NHS is under significant pressure. Even with restrictions and many people going further to protect themselves and others, the number in hospital with COVID is high, and the numbers are only going down very slowly. High numbers of COVID patients and staff off sick has the inevitable effect on the work the health service can do, including the urgent task of making inroads into the treatment backlog and getting back to key performance targets. In addition, Taylor encouraged people to continue wearing masks, getting tested regularly, and taking sensible precautions. In addition, the British Medical Association was quoted by The Guardian as saying this decision was, quote, not guided by the data. Also, Susan Hopkins, the chief medical advisor to the UK Health Security Agency, quote, urged the public to take our personal behavior seriously and use face coverings when in crowded places among strangers. There are many, many cautious voices in the UK medical community, and there are also many commentators who, like yourself, are pretty convinced that Boris Johnson's move is a calculated political one, which is designed to save his position while putting the public at risk.
No. Okay, so you're just telling me that for the past week, people within his own party have been calling for him to resign, and then suddenly and conveniently, he does the thing that other people might want that could cause a lot of controversy, taking eyes away from that story.
Yeah, the conservative parties the UK wanted these restrictions lifted, and he's giving that concession because they have been calling for him to resign.
You can resign or you can lift these things, and guess what?
Shit was looking really bad for him. Like, the conservative MP Christian Wakeford had defected to Labour, and David Davis, the former a former Brexit guy, essentially equated Johnson to Neville Chamberlain.
Ooh!
It's not good.
Appeasing the virus or the conservatives?
Take your pick.
Okay, fair enough.
The Daily Telegraph reported that, quote, 11 lawmakers submitted letters of no confidence in Johnson. 54 letters are required to trigger a leadership challenge, but there might have been more that were submitted that weren't made public. Like, he was in the soup.
Ugh.
as Woodhouse might say.
Listen, there's nothing quite like the thick of it to really make you appreciate the British political system.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
The reason that the move of lifting COVID restrictions is kind of the move that Johnson needed to make to win his party back was because, like you said, he was in trouble because he had BYOB parties.
What?
At 10 Downing and at his own house.
You know, you just look at these people and they were like, you know, I think the French aristocracy were right on, and I don't think anything negative ever happened to them, so let's just do the same shit.
As an op-ed in The Guardian points out, it's fairly safe to say that this is a decision that's based on politics, not science, because Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland are all keeping many of the restrictions in place, like requiring masks in public transit and in retail settings. A similar dynamic is in effect in Ireland, where many settings are no longer requiring masks, but a mandate will still exist on public transit and in retail settings. They're going to ease their restrictions in the hospitality sector, and pubs are going to be allowed to be open past 9 p.m. again. So there are some moves that they're making, but also some restrictions that are staying in place.
Right.
Here in the United States, the Supreme Court ruled that Biden's vaccine or test mandate for businesses wasn't going to stand, but that it was still appropriate in healthcare settings. In terms of what restrictions exist, the CDC doesn't really set any of that. They give recommendations, and then the actual decisions are mostly a state-by-state thing, and various states are taking wildly different approaches, so I have no idea how to even address Alex's claim that the United States dropped blanket.
I mean, in unison is the craziest two words I've heard anyone say about any politics, period.
Yeah. So as of January 20th, the CDC's website still recommends everyone over 2 years old should wear masks, that people should get vaccinated, and maintain distance when possible. The same state-by-state dynamic is also true in Canada. They have national rules. For example, non-citizens who aren't vaccinated are only able to enter the country under certain circumstances. That's a national restriction.
Yeah.
As for the various provinces, a lot of them are actually extending COVID precautionary rules. For instance, on January 17th, British Columbia's health ministry announced that they would extend the COVID order, quote, that will keep gyms and fitness centers closed and limit gatherings at events and restaurants. Masks are still required in almost all public settings. Meanwhile, Ontario is easing restrictions gradually, with businesses like restaurants and theaters being able to open at 50% capacity beginning January 31st, then gradually heading back to normal over a matter of months. At the same time, Quebec has decided to not lift any restrictions. The point here is that different places make different decisions.
Yeah.
Alex has singled in on the news from England and decided to characterize the entire world based on the probably very foolish and self-preservation-based decision made by Boris Johnson. There's a good chance that will play to his audience, so he's safe there, but it's dumb.
Yeah.
Putting aside the real world for a second, it's critical to understand the move that Alex is making with his narrative and how he's able to pull it off. Alex has built up the image of completely draconian COVID tyranny, not only as something that's coming, but something that's already here. The checkpoints, the door-to-door forced vaccinations, it's all happening. This was very sensationalized as a version of the world, and engaging with reality this way serves two important functions for Alex. First, it keeps his audience in a state of almost hypnotic and impotent fear, where the only solution available is to support Alex so he can save you. Secondly, he knows that none of these things were ever going to actually happen. There weren't going to be door-to-door forced vaccinations, so it really serves as a perfect horror scenario that he'll eventually get to take credit for stopping.
Are you saying that he didn't really believe there would be Daleks with guns going from door to door?
He might have believed that one.
Okay, well, that one sounds great, though. I'm still in support of that one.
Sure. You get the first hints of this from this claim at the end of the clip where Alex is saying that all of these countries mysteriously simultaneously made these announcements, which is obviously meant to imply that they were acting in concert in reaction to something, which is going to be claimed to be the mass awakening that Alex has helped happen.
Of course.
But if you look at the actual state of things and the actions of the various countries that he's referencing, what he's saying isn't real at all. It dangles by the thread of Boris Johnson's decision, who, until very recently, Alex has been calling a globalist traitor who pretended to be a patriot in order to get elected, then turned on the people.
Yeah.
So you can see the extreme over-sensationalized rhetoric about, like, door-to-door forced vaccinations, armed Daleks, we forgot. It's so easy to forget about that.
It's so easy and yet impossible. I'll remember it on my deathbed.
So you have those really extreme things.
2 weeks from now.
You have those really extreme things that are never going to happen, and because they're never going to happen, whenever Alex decides to take a dip out of the narrative, he can claim he has stopped it by way of his mass awakening.
I mean, he is the savior.
Yeah. I mean, he's seen hell.
Yeah.
So
he's just trying to get out of this fucking meatbag life.
He's got to do a reset
he's
war.
He's got to do a reset war.
So when I say that this is what he's going to present as what is the reason that all these countries
proof
are doing
for his
this,
victory,
that's spelled out in this next clip.
So why are they ending this now? Is it because the deaths are way down in 2022 and 2021? No, they're actually way up from the first big year of the pandemic before we had the vaccine. Is it because the bureaucrats just want to give us our freedoms back? No, that's not it either. It's because they know all over the world such firm, powerful opposition has formed at the governmental, corporate, and private individual level that there was a massive tide of resistance that they wouldn't be able to stop. A huge tide of peaceful resistance. The majority of conservative Tories and of liberal Labour Party members in the UK last week came to Boris Johnson and said, we can outvote you with a supermajority. And he had to back down. And the same thing is now happening in Canada. The same thing is now happening here in the United States.
I think this is a strange move for Alex, honestly. I don't know how he's going to explain it when there are still COVID restrictions down the road. Like, if all these government's figures are so scared of the powerful awakening he's helped inspire, it seems like it would be impossible for him to explain them reimposing COVID measures in the future should that be necessary. That seems to me like an indication of a desire on Alex's part, though, to change the status quo of his coverage, but I don't know if it's going to play. Like, it does seem like there's something that is underwriting this.
Yeah. I mean...
Because the reason that I feel that way is that he's written this fun fantasy version of what's happened with Boris Johnson, and I guess that does help with explaining the, like, he's a traitor part, because,
right,
like, the government was... They blackmailed him into doing this.
Sure, sure, essentially, yes.
Which, there's actually spiritual truth to that.
Yeah, no, there really
is. It's just that Alex's version of it is nonsensical.
I mean, it's not blackmail, it's white mail. It's very public, everybody is watching him be blackmailed. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like there's other ways that Alex would report stuff if he wasn't looking for, like, I want to stop talking about this shit for a while.
Yeah, if... I mean, the thing about it is that it feels like he's trying to take that early path, because right now what we're seeing, to me, is a complete abdication of responsibility from all the people who could be taking it, mm-hmm, right? So at this point, they're all saying that we are simply giving up to the mathematics of human behavior rather than any kind of intervention to change the results. Mm-hmm. So Alex is maybe right of just saying, like, if they're going to say that everything's fucking fine, then I might as well too. Mm. You know,
like, and we've won.
And we've won. Because they're capitulating in the sense that they're trying to gaslight the rest of us in the same way that Alex has always wanted them to.
I guess so, but I still think that even if there are, like, massive irresponsibilities going on, mm-hmm, in terms of many state governments, in terms of their response and taking care of the public, there isn't nothing being done.
True.
You know, there are still some impositions.
True, true.
For public health. I don't know. It is weird.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I
it feels like, and to some extent, maybe just Alex wants a win.
Occam's razor might dictate that he, much like we, are pretty sick of him talking about fucking COVID bullshit.
I can't imagine how tired he is of it.
We're exhausted of it, and he spends more time talking about it than we do.
It's circular, it's pointless.
It's boring.
And, like, even he has to know at this point, because he's been doing it for years.
Right.
That, like, okay... I found this one Steve Kirsch blog article.
Yeah.
This is going to distract people for a couple days, and then everyone's going to get bored of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to... Like, he has to constantly be on that treadmill.
Right.
Like, it would have to be exhausting.
And we've got upcoming Oath Keepers and Stuart Rhodes shit. All of this is going on.
Sure.
Upcoming his own trial, all this shot. Why not declare a win?
Yep. COVID is no longer...
Just look, just like Johnson being like, hey, all of these people are pressuring me, so I might as well just lift all these restrictions. Alex is like, I've got a lot of shit going on right now. I might as well just say I won. I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
There's an interesting parallel there. So I think Alex's like take on it is more just like, the public has woken up. They're not buying the official narrative.
The public's not buying in to your official narrative. And we have the medical services, both private and corporate, around the world, leading the way, exposing that these so-called vaccines aren't vaccines. They're gene therapies that actually erase your immune system. And the vast majority of people dead and dying in hospitals have been vaccinated. And that's why they're panicking. Because they can put out fake headlines of you're 20 times more likely to be hospitalized if you haven't had the shot. It's not true. They can put out fake headlines that 99% of hospitalized are unvaccinated. Remember Fauci a year ago? All of it is a giant lie.
The private and corporate medical services aren't exposing the stuff Alex is claiming. That's just his cherry-picked cadre of lunatics, longtime anti-vax conspiracy theorists, and that asshole Steve Kirsch. I wanted to take a look at Alex's claim that these stats were lies, though, and they are a bit off, depending on what data set you look at. Like whatever Alex is saying,
sure,
a little bit off.
Well,
according to the most recent release from the CDC, you're 15 times more likely to die of COVID if you're unvaccinated than if you are. As of December, it was a rate of about 9.2 deaths per 100,000 unvaccinated people, compared to 0.47 per 100,000 vaccinated persons. Numbers from November reflected a 68 times increased risk of death from COVID for unvaccinated persons compared to those who had gotten the booster.
Jesus.
So, I don't know, 20? Maybe it's in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Even Alex's freedom-loving Texas state government released data this past week that showed that, quote, unvaccinated Texans are 16 times more likely to die from COVID-related illnesses than fully vaccinated Texans. And that's Texas. This week, the CDC released a finding that unvaccinated people over 65 and older were 49 times more likely to be hospitalized than people over 65 who had gotten the booster. Unvaccinated people aged 50 to 64 are 44 times more likely to be hospitalized than vaccinated people in the same age range. When you include all people over the age of 18, hospitalization rates were 16 times higher in the unvaccinated cohort than in the vaccinated. Alex can claim these are fake headlines all he wants, but the data is bearing out that you are far more likely to end up hospitalized or dead if you're unvaccinated, regardless of what age group you're in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's nice that that's backed up by a lot of science that we can point to.
Right.
But at the same time, man, that's the fucking point of vaccines, dude. You know, like I'm glad that it's true and all that shit. I'm glad we've got the numbers, the exact ones. But come on, what's the fucking point of even calling it a vaccine if you don't? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Right, right. I mean, the numbers are all just like, yeah, it's working.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. So Alex has an interesting theory that leads to a bit of like an introduction of a prediction.
They gaslit us with the corporate media and they lied to us at every level and they used the local health departments to lie. But the lie has now failed. This is a very historic moment. We have crossed a political Rubicon here. Now, they claim they'd get rid of the restrictions a year ago, but I said they'd bring them back. That's okay. Because when they know the opposition builds to a point where it could defeat them, they back off, so we go back to sleep. Then they bring the restrictions back again. And I'm predicting here they're going to do it again, but not right away.
This is a fun story, but it's all just based on things Alex is imagining. There's no indication that I can see that any restrictions or guidance has been enacted or lifted because of fear about being defeated by Alex's awakened army. In fact, I would suggest that the only people who seem to have molded their behavior on a fear of people like Alex are the politicians who are doing exactly what Alex wants them to do. People like DeSantis and Rand Paul, people who know where their bread is buttered and can see that they need to cater to this extreme anti-vax voting bloc or else they have no future in politics. Yeah. And then I guess there's Boris Johnson, who is less afraid of the power of the anti-vax truth movement as he was afraid of losing his seat in government because he got caught having parties while the public was sacrificing for the public good. The situation with Boris looks close enough to what Alex needs it to look like in order for him to write a compelling story about it, so that's what he's doing. The whole world is mysteriously simultaneously dropping COVID restrictions because they're worried about Alex's truth movement being too successful and toppling the entire globalist system. It's so stupid, but it's the closest thing to an off-ramp I think Alex has seen in a long time, and I don't fault him for taking it.
No, jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This notion that they eased up the restrictions in the past when they were in danger and then tightened them up when the Patriots got complacent doesn't really make sense, considering that for the last 2 years, consistently and incessantly, anti-vax assholes have been yelling about real and imagined public health measures at rallies, school board meetings, city council meetings, and, of course, on Alex and Rogan's shows. There was no time when the anti-vax assholes got complacent. It's been a constant barrage this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that these COVID restrictions are being just dropped simultaneously, Alex has England, and that's about it. The rest of the countries he named don't even actually support the argument. And even then, there are a ton of countries in the world that he's just ignoring and pretending don't exist. So there's a index on the Financial Times. It's prepared by Oxford, researchers at Oxford, and it's a stringency index of
it's a ranking
government
of who
measures.
Does the most
stringent
yes,
government
exactly.
measures in terms
yeah.
of COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Albania had previously been clocking in earlier this year at 43.52 on that scale. This was on January 15th, and then they jumped to 61.11 on January 18th.
Wow.
Pretty big jump.
Yeah, that's like if you go to a party, you lose your foot.
Mm.
Yeah.
They had to postpone impeaching their president due to COVID. That's something they did.
That's a good system.
Well, they're not forcing anybody to get it. They are launching door-to-door vaccination campaigns in order to make the shots available to anybody who wants them. It also came out this week that many Albanians were no longer allowed to enter Kosovo as they had enacted new rules where you needed to have proof of getting the booster or a current PCR test across the border. This weekend, Kosovo enacted new rules regarding entry, and they also set a curfew and restricted restaurant hours to needing to be closed by 9 p.m. Also in their new rules, quote, all employees of public institutions, central and local public enterprises, private businesses, organizations, as well as other entities must possess one of the following in order to be allowed to enter the work premises.
A gun.
No.
Oh,
they need to have proof of vaccination or proof that they have a contraindication that makes them exempt from vaccination. Also, masks are required all over the place.
Of course.
Also, this last week, Belize put in a new rule that people who wanted to enter the country would need to purchase travel insurance to help offset the COVID costs for treatment and lodging expenses for people who need to quarantine. Alex should consider this a major move, but he seems to not care, at least partially because this story doesn't fit his current narrative about this suspicious drop of all COVID restrictions.
In Alex's defense, he could not point to where any of those countries are on a map.
Probably not. But maybe we want to go to Europe. How about that? Alex loves Europe. Go to Germany, a place that Alex has routinely said is the seat of the New World Order because of Angela Merkel. On January 7th, Germany announced that it would now be requiring proof of a negative COVID test or proof of having got the booster for people to enter restaurants. The rules also continued a policy restricting people who have not been vaccinated from attending gatherings. Let's stay in Europe, where Italy just tightened their rules about where you will need a green pass to enter. It was announced on January 20th to take effect in February and last until the end of March, and will now you'll need a green pass to go to a hairdresser, a barber, a beauty salon, and this is also in addition to places you already needed one, like public offices, banks, and post offices.
I'll tell you where you don't need one, at a Leo Zagami party.
That's true.
Yeah.
Leo Zagami party doesn't stop.
Not even for COVID.
Let's check out Greece and learn about how they've elected to keep their current COVID restrictions in place. And what's this? Fine the elderly? On January 17th, Greece announced that they were going to start fining people over 60 who haven't been vaccinated €50 a month.
God, I love Greece. I fucking love that shit.
Alex should be furious
that
about
is,
them fining people for not being vaccinated.
Great. That is fucking great.
This was this last week, too.
I love it.
In the same time when Alex...
I love it.
Days before Alex is saying everybody's dropping all the restrictions.
There's like a 99% chance they won't come collect on that, but just that they would fucking put that out there. Love it.
Let's go a little bit towards the east, and we'll find Turkmenistan just put some new restrictions in place on January 16th, which included, quote, stepping up enforcement of mask wearing, restrictions on businesses, and something Alex should be deeply concerned about. One of the new rules says, quote, doctors, nurses, and medical students are to be assigned to control points on highways at the boundaries between regional centers and districts to carry out enhanced checks.
I fucking love it. God damn it. What if East Berlin just had a bunch of weirdo doctors at the border?
Yeah, so Turkmenistan is putting up the sort of roadside checks that Alex has been obsessed about.
Right.
Forever.
I like it. That's such a nice... I would be pleasantly surprised if there was a roadside check that was like, you doing okay, man?
Right. So there's other examples, but I think the point is clear. Alex's worldview is very narrow and predominantly just involves countries that he thinks are white. There's a ton of varying responses to COVID in different countries because these different countries are facing different outbreak patterns. The extent of his engagement with the world is to skim this story about Boris Johnson, make up a fun story about it, and then use that story to characterize the situation in the entire world. The globalists are super afraid of Alex's buddy, so they're loosening up the COVID restrictions, except for all the places that they aren't loosening restrictions, and they're actually adding new ones, which Alex will just ignore.
Yep.
The larger point is that nothing Alex is saying is in any way connected to reality. He's predicting that they're loosening up restrictions now only to reimpose them later, because I think he probably realizes on some level that based on the anti-vax fervor and complete irresponsibility our public officials are showing, there's probably going to be another crisis before this is all over.
Yeah.
This is him laying the groundwork, so if things get out of control again, partially thanks to the bullshit he's spreading, he'll be able to pretend that he called it in advance and that the new public health measures that are being discussed are actually just a further attack on freedom and the patriots.
Yeah.
This circular game is getting really old.
Yeah. It's a little bit like predicting a financial crash after 2008, and you watched all that stuff happen, and then they were like, what if we did nothing about it? And you're like, okay, well, eventually it's going to happen again. In the same way of like, hey, you know, there's mutations of COVID. Like, you know, if you don't do anything about it, they'll probably continue doing that. Predicting another mutation is not a difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Hey, man. It's actually, you're wrong. They're making these diseases in labs.
I wish that were true.
But in general, the globalists have enough of the public that want to have vaccine passports now, and want to have social credit scores and who want to be tracked, that they have now the 20-30% they need to beta test the social credit score, work out the kinks, and get it ready for the next plandemic. And that's what Bill Gates has been saying. He's been saying, okay, this plandemic's ending, but a new one's coming soon when another super virus pops up. And he and Leonardo DiCaprio and all of them tell you it's coming out of the jungles because the world's too hot. You're going to die of a new super virus because you eat too many hamburgers, or you have a car, or you have heating and air conditioning. It's voodoo. No, they're cooking this garbage up in labs.
So I think one of the most telling dynamics that really indicates to me that Alex is knowingly full of shit about pretty much everything he talks about is this selective ability to understand that things are interconnected. For instance, when it comes to bringing up his conspiracies, everything is connected. People in far-flung industries in different countries living at different periods of time, they're all working together for this same goal. Even more to the point, he understands that trends can have an impact on other trends. For instance, economies in the developing world worsening can have the impact of negative effects on the supply chain, and ultimately that can then affect our economy. Alex gets this kind of interconnectedness. However, when it comes to the relationship between deforestation and disease, he pretends to not understand what people are talking about. There are animals in the, quote, jungles, to use his term, that we aren't in contact with, and when their habitats are destroyed, some of them may migrate into where humans live, and some of these animals may carry diseases we've never encountered before and we may be super susceptible to. This is a pretty simple to understand dynamic, and it's pretty well understood how climate change and the destruction of natural environments like forests is closely associated with disease. This isn't even taking into consideration the dynamic where, like, flesh-eating bacteria can only survive in warmer waters, so as the temperature of the ocean's increasing, your chance of encountering it when you go for a swim is going up. I don't believe that Alex would be capable of understanding interconnectedness in one instance and not in the other. This seems to me like a pathetic display of willful misrepresentation in order to misinform the audience. Also, I love Bill Gates, Leonardo DiCaprio, and all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, don't you remember when Bill Gates and Leonardo DiCaprio simultaneously came out with all of them and said, it's fucking jungles, man.
Who are the rest of them?
The rest of them!
I mean, I understand that Leonardo DiCaprio was like...
Michael Shannon?
Well, I mean...
He's definitely in there.
Probably.
I suppose...
The Hamburglar?
Well,
your buddy.
No. The Hamburglar would never do that. How dare you?
I think... I know that Leonardo DiCaprio was involved in that 7707 concert.
Wasn't it like
that worldwide concert?
Like a few times Leonardo DiCaprio has been like, hey, how about the environment? Maybe let's not destroy it on his giant fucking yachts.
Probably.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he's going to pretty soon be called Bill Gates' new aide-de-camp.
Oh, that'll be fun. I hope he gets into the Council of 12 someday.
Well, we can only hope.
We can only hope.
And Beto and AOC and all the Hollywood trash like the before mentioned DiCaprio are telling you that it's imminent that almost all of us will die by 2030. William Shatner gets off the space pod a few months ago. And he says, too bad everyone will be dead on the surface soon, but it's our fault, right? They have let all these people in on the depopulation agenda. Hell, they've let the public in on it. They've got Wall Street Journal and New York Times headlines about looking forward to the end of humanity because we're a curse.
That's not a fair representation of what Shatner said. When he got back from space, he said, quote, I was overwhelmed with the experience, with the sensation of looking at death and looking at life, and this, you know, what has become cliche of how we need to take care of the planet. But it's so fragile. People say, oh, it's fragile. No. There's this little tiny blue skin that is 50 miles wide, and we pollute it, and it's our means of living. So, I mean, I think that's a mischaracterization on Alex's part.
Yeah.
Also, that op-ed titled Looking Forward to the End of Humanity wasn't about how we're a curse and need to go. That's a fun misrepresentation Alex can make because he only engages with headlines, and he likes to pretend that looking forward in this case is like how a kid looks forward to a birthday party, as opposed to looking forward in terms of thinking about things in the future.
Yeah.
The article itself is really mostly about how if the ability to download your brain into a robot does come around, something like that, there's a really good chance that it's only going to be available to people in the upper echelons of society, and that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
The last line of the piece is, quote, A transhuman future in which mortality is optional may sound like paradise, but if it comes sooner for some of us than for others, it could prove to be a dystopia. This is an almost two-year-old op-ed Alex only knows the headline of that he's using to argue that the globalists are planning to wipe out the population. It is just embarrassing. As for the people saying that we're going to be dead by 2030, that was just people like AOC and Beto commenting on the 2018 IPCC report. And it wasn't so much them saying that everyone's going to die. For instance, AOC's comments were taken out of context. She was pointing out how the younger generation see governmental inaction. Quote, "The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change, and your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it?" You see what the context is here.
Yeah.
The only person I consistently see going on and on about how everyone's about to die is Alex Jones.
Sure.
When he's in a bad mood, we're all already dead. When he's in a decent mood, it's just the people who got vaccinated. They're going to be dead in the next few years, and he's very sorry to have to report
it's
this
It's a real
news.
Bummer.
He's the one doing the sensational shit he's accusing everyone
sure,
else of.
Sure, sure.
Nonsense.
I know you are, but what am I?
It's the end of humanity. There will only be lone survivors.
There will only be lone survivors, but do you know what the problem is? All the people on the left sensationalizing the news,
mm-hmm.
Dan. That's
mm-hmm.
the main issue. All of us lone survivors are going to be real bummed out by their negative Nelly bullshit. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? That's the problem.
Yep. It's I don't know. It's just it's annoying.
Yes.
That's what I would say.
Yes.
So of course, Operation Lockstep comes up, and Alex lies about that document
sure,
a little.
Sure.
But the good news is, if you read the Rockefeller and Bill Gates documents, they plan to have the first phase of the lockdown go for 4 years, then pull it off for a little while, then bring it back.
That is good news.
But this time, after 2 years, they're having to back off because, again, it forms so much opposition that it could actually bring down their whole system. So they're backing off now because, again, they think that that will make opposition go away, and then they can move at us with the next weapon, which I believe will be a staged cyber attack,
sure.
major power outage worldwide.
Why not?
They've been telegraphing that. That's why we've got to stay vigilant. That's why we've got to stay focused. That's why we've got to bring to justice all the liars during this entire process, like Fauci and others that purposely lied about statistics.
Uh-oh. If people are lying about statistics are going to jail, Alex and his entire crew are all getting locked up.
No. You gotta remember that the only people who would jail people for lying about statistics are the people currently lying about statistics.
Yes.
So,
this makes sense.
Yeah.
So as for Alex's prediction of a cyber attack, that seems like a decent, almost cautious pick for him. There is a pretty high likelihood of something happening that he could portray as a cyber false flag, so his odds of getting to portray himself as a prophet for just making a bland, middle-of-the-road prediction are pretty good here.
Yeah.
Cyber threats are always growing, and the way people are engaging with NFTs and that sort of thing these days leave the door wide open for something to happen on that front that could wipe out a ton of money, which Alex could call a cyber false flag.
Oh, man.
If he wanted to, he could just call the drop in Bitcoin price.
Hey, if you really start digging into how big a problem ransomware is starting to become,
sure.
it's like, oh boy.
Mm-hmm. These are all possibilities that would not need to be false flags.
Nope.
That he's already primed the audience to experience that way. But it gets even more flimsy because we've played this game already. In February of last year, Texas got hit by that massive winter storm that knocked out power to a lot of people. That was the result of poor oversight by the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, and faulty infrastructure, largely due to Texas's strong distaste for regulation.
It's a good thing that after that crisis happened, they really mobilized and
Regulation, it's anti-freedom. And if they actually needed a well-maintained power grid, then, you know, some super rich person would just voluntarily pay for it out of the goodness of their hearts.
Especially if they had downloaded their brain into an immortal cyborg, they would really care a lot about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Alex called that power crisis a cyber false flag. This is the kind of standards he's going to need to claim that he's right about this prediction. It's almost a non-existent. It's like a limbo bar that's at the top of a doorway.
Yeah.
It's very easy to make it under that bar.
Yeah.
There are really serious winter storms that have been happening and are predicted through the weekend in places like North and South Carolina. Much of South Texas is under a winter storm warning. The point is that there are a number of places that aren't necessarily known for their tough winter weather that are looking at some challenges, and it may just be that another city loses power temporarily due to a snowstorm. Alex's cyber false flag prediction is an attempt to get ahead of that possibility so he can profit off it if it does come to pass.
Yeah.
That's all that's going on there.
I mean, I think my biggest problem with all of these doomsday predictions is that, quite simply, due to the behaviors of the far right, extreme weather events and destabilization are almost guaranteed. So predicting them now is frustratingly easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys made it so you could be right. Like, every time you predicted shit before, you were wrong. Mm-hmm. So you destabilized the world so much that gold might be going up to levels that he was talking about.
Well,
I don't know.
It's annoying. So the thing about the Rockefeller document saying that 4 years of lockdown is coming, that's completely made up. And what this lie is meant to do is convince the listeners that the actions taken by Alex and the anti-vax community were not only righteous, but they were also super effective. That's an attempt to, one, claim victory, and two, solidify the argument that if public health measures are raised again, then this kind of ridiculous response is exactly what everybody needs to do because it worked this time.
Yep.
This last time. Alex and his buddies were able to defeat the globalists in 2 years, whereas the globalist plan was 4.
Oh, the obviously stupid globalists. So effective.
Also, while I'm on the subject, how weak are these globalists? If their plan is to either imprison the entire world or kill everyone off, and they're doing it because they're beholden to literal Satan, How does it make sense that they would back off because Alex and his friends were whiny for a long time?
Because God is behind their whining, Dan.
No.
God helps whiners who whine themselves.
This doesn't make sense.
No.
There's a reason, and that's because this is just a made-up story that Alex is telling based on Boris Johnson making a callous political decision
sure.
to save his own ass from getting thrown out for having BYOB parties.
That's how the news works, Dan.
But Alex actually has a second thing to point to.
Okay.
So I would say that in the beginning of this piece, predominantly the only solid ground he really has to stand on is this Boris Johnson thing.
Gotcha.
But he has a second piece that comes up, and it's very dumb.
Now here's another short clip from the Bill Maher Show, the full clips on Infowars.com, showing a liberal New York Times columnist coming out and calling the COVID tyranny a catastrophic moral crime, and that it was all a fraud.
Ah, yes, Barry Weiss going on Bill Maher's show is proof that the liberals are even waking up.
Ah, I'm fairly certain I called her a fascist to someone she works with.
I think that her career trajectory has been such that I would never call her a liberal. I wouldn't call her on the left.
Oh, no.
She was very essential in whitewashing and promoting the quote-unquote intellectual dark web.
Yeah,
Recently, she tried to start the anti-cancel culture university in Austin.
Right.
it's ridiculous.
And if you really go through her columns in the New York Times, I feel like she's an aspiring slave owner. Mm. You know, like somebody who's really going to work her ass off.
One of her coworkers is going to get mad at you.
Oh, no.
So also, I'm never going to care about what people on Bill Maher's show say, and I can't figure out why Alex likes to pretend that show is meaningful.
I don't know.
If I had to guess, I would say it's because the show is it's really intentionally iconoclastic, and it's supposed to involve comedy, sort of.
Sure.
So sometimes people say things that are a bit inflammatory, or at least more so than you'd see on a regular news program. Because people speak so loosely and some things are said as a joke, Alex can take comments people make on there and present them as if they're the gospel of the globalists.
Right.
That's my best guess. Whatever the reason, it's just such a bizarre and sad trend on Alex's show where he thinks that the globalists are speaking through Bill Maher's show. Except when Bill Maher says something that Alex likes, and then, Alex has kind of heard that maybe Bill Maher's been a secret patriot this whole time.
Man, I can't, I think the thing about Bill Maher's show is that there are no relevant political late night shows anymore. Like, it just doesn't exist. And Bill Maher, I guess, was relevant 20 years ago.
Sure.
So that's in Alex's mind is the last time something was relevant?
Now, I think the last time I watched it was when I was 15.
Right.
So maybe my memories are a little bit shaded. But I seem to recall Politically Incorrect being at least a little bit more interesting than his current show.
Maybe we were all just wrong because we didn't know back then.
Whoa. Maybe I was 15.
Remember how we all thought SNL was good when we were 15? That happened. We've all lived through it.
Yeah. It's strange.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so bored of pointing to Bill Maher.
I can't believe anybody still has the time for it. Mm-hmm. Who has the time for it?
The man was in Tomcats.
Who fucking watches that show?
Tomcats?
No.
The movie?
Tomcats, great.
No, it's not.
Oh, I thought you were about talking about Tom Kenny.
No. Oh, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I had a terrible flash when you said Tom Kenny, not because of anything about him, but because now I have to go through my mental Rolodex of like, have I heard something bad? Like, you know, Jay Johnson stormed the Capitol.
Sure, so did SpongeBob cause problems?
I was looking around on, I was on Twitter earlier, and I was scrolling through, I'm like, John Stockton's trending. I'm like, John Stockton was a beast.
Yeah, that's not good.
That guy was great. So I clicked on it, I'm like, oh no, he's anti-vax.
What did you think he was going to be? He's John Stockton. He's fucking 5'10", and he's white dude from the 90s.
I don't know, maybe it was a bunch of people tweeting about like the anniversary of a great game he had or something. I don't know. So anyway, when you said Tom Kenny, I'm like,
No. No, he's still good. He's still good.
So anyway, Alex has been vindicated, predominantly because Barry Weiss was talking shit.
Yeah, it was a lonely place to be 23 months ago, being the first to expose this. And it's been a rough process throughout it. But I knew that InfoWars acts as the information warfare shock troops of truth. And it's our job to tell the hard facts up front when it's not popular and the public isn't informed. Because if we don't lay out these hard facts, nobody else is going to do it. And that's why all of you watching, all of you viewing this transmission, need to understand how valuable InfoWars is and how valuable you've been in the last 2 years fighting with us and all the things you've done to spread our articles and spread our videos and to share so many other great Patriots information and Joe Rogan coming out against it and Tucker Carlson coming out against it. Though it took them about a year to get going once they saw the facts they did.
Wow, that is the most narcissistic thing I've heard since I watched that Barry Weiss clip.
Yep.
I was one of the things that I thought was particularly interesting about this is this doesn't sound like somebody who thinks they're going to be gone in a month or two.
Mm?
This seems like somebody who's preparing for some narratives.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Because if he still was in sort of a mindset of like doom is around the corner, yeah, then it would be like, I have been vindicated, and write my tales on the wall in blood.
Sure.
Like, it would be something far more grandstandy than this. I don't know. It has a tone that's different from maybe some of his other previous works.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he just took a day off. He needed a day off, and now he's back.
He took a day off after he went to family court.
Right. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It does feel like he wants to lay some groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
No,
I don't like it when he feels like he has a future.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's also, if you kind of cut through the facade in that last clip, what Alex is saying here is that he saved the world by standing in the gap and forcing out the truth until it became acceptable for other people to join him, like Tucker and Joe Rogan, who are apparently too cowardly to do so previously.
If it weren't for Alex, you would never have heard Barry Weiss go on Bill Maher and say some bullshit. That's a win.
Like, Alex is pretending that he saved the world, but nothing in the world has actually changed other than Boris Johnson's decision and Barry Weiss went on Bill Maher's show and talked shit. That's all that's behind Alex's navel-gazing about how he's a hero because he was into the anti-vax shit before it was cool.
Yeah, he saved the world.
This is trash.
He saved the world.
The materials that Alex uses to make his argument in this video are lies about statistics, lies about the lockstep document, some comments Barry Weiss made, made-up fantasies about Boris Johnson, a video of Robert Kennedy Jr., and a story about Aaron Rodgers. None of this means anything.
Yeah, that's not a great list.
Nope.
No.
No.
I wouldn't want that one on my, like, PhD thesis.
Mm-mm.
That wouldn't go well.
So we got some more lies about lockstep. Lockstep lies.
Globalists are the criminals that were desperate because of nationalism, desperate because of Trumpism and populism, and people waking up. So the Rockefeller Foundation always said in Operation Lockstep 2011 that they would launch a virus scare to bring in the tyranny you've now seen. That doesn't mean the tyranny's going to go away overnight. Doesn't mean that we're totally winning, but we're starting to win. So incredible.
We're starting to win now?
Yeah.
We were ahead 40-0 in the fourth quarter a few weeks ago.
And then we were all dying.
And now we're down by a score. We're in field goal distance.
But we're heating up.
God damn it.
Alex is making all this shit up about this Rockefeller document, and it's so funny. He even got the year wrong this time. You can hear in this clip, though, the way that Alex tries to play non-committal with this shit. Like, you're frustrated by it. He's claiming this big victory, but then when nothing actually happens, he runs the risk of his listeners being like, hey, you said the globalists are backing off. That's why he needs to add this reminder that there's a good chance that nothing is going to happen and things are still going to be bad. But hey, we're starting to win.
Hey, we're starting to win. We're not out of the woods yet. We're winning. We're going to win. We're guaranteed to win. We're still in the woods. We're going to be there for a while, maybe indefinitely.
The flimsiness of the information that Alex is providing and the sort of ambivalence that you see as illustrated in this clip.
Yeah.
That's the things that kind of make me feel like what we're actually seeing is more just an indication of Alex's mood turning a little bit more manic.
Yeah.
That's kind of the feeling that I get.
Yeah, we're on the upswing.
Yeah, that's the news.
All the news that fits a print. Yeah. Alex, a 7 out of 10 today.
Yeah, so I think that it would be fair to assess this special report up to this point is largely triumphant. It's been pretty positive. Pretty much like all the world are dropping their COVID restrictions.
All the four countries that I know filled with white people.
And even those aren't. But Alex is saying that they are.
They might as well. They're white people.
Sure. Because we're about 20 minutes into the report now. Uh-huh. Things are about to take a bad turn.
Oh, no.
So to bring in the new system, you got to crash the old system. And the Davos Group, i.e. the Bilderberg Group, has been telegraphing that that's their next phase. They're also telegraphing that they're going to have carbon lockdowns to save the earth. And major cities in places like India have now already been doing it. So they've done their virus attack, but now they know folks are aware of that scam. So they're going to back off on that to only launch a bunch of new attacks. And so as much good news as I gave you earlier, folks, you need to get ready. You need to get prepared. You need to get right with God. You need to have a self-defense plan. You need to have storable food. You need to have water filtration. You need to have neighbors and friends that are awake and know what's going on, to have a mutual aid agreement to take care of each other with what's coming up.
You also need those neighbors for a source of food
in case
things go bad. You gotta
put
eat their
knitting
ass.
Needles in my ears. This is so fucking whiplash.
Yeah.
God damn.
It's like, aha, we have defeated...
We're doing great. But, get right with God. Right. Like, oh, fuck me.
Right. We have defeated the vaccine bad guy, and now worse things are happening.
Yeah, great, man. Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks, dude.
Yep. So I just think that this is that tease and release balance that we see with Alex all the time. It's like, aha, victory, but not really.
Get your hopes up, and then now that your hopes are up... Dash them right back down because you're going to die.
Yeah, it's emotional manipulation.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm glad that Alex at least... I'm not glad Alex says this. I don't really care.
Okay.
You do not want any offensive violence. You could arrest all of Congress. It wouldn't fix our problems. You could fire everybody at the Justice Department. It wouldn't fix the problems. You could change all the judges around. But unless we become aware of the globalists and the big corporations and how they're manipulating our countries off against each other... We'll never fix it. We got to take our cities, our counties, our states back, our nations back. We got to take our corporations back. We've got to take our lives back. And then we have a chance of beating this peacefully by a global awakening. The globalists want all sorts of regional conflicts and fights and civil wars to, again, further destabilize and crash confidence in systems because they want the nation states to go down all at once, basically, to bring in their new global corporate governance. And that's why they're racing to get their social credit score, vaccine passport apps in to act as the new digital currency platform.
This clip is such a great representation of how nothing Alex says means anything or even has internal consistency. He's simultaneously saying that replacing every member in Congress and every judge wouldn't fix anything in terms of the country's problems, but somehow the solution is a bizarrely vague notion of, quote, taking our cities, our countries, our states back, our nations back. Like, what is he talking about? Replacing every member of the government wouldn't do anything, but instead what you have to do is gradually take back these government offices? Like, what does this mean? It makes no sense unless you understand taking back our cities and states is something that's done outside of the electoral process.
Well.
So that's a little... fun, subtle message.
I was interested in the take our corporations back most. I think he just said that as part of his thing. But yeah. The more I think about it, like, Alex, what do you think that would look like,
right,
even under your control? Right. How explain that one to me.
Are you a commie?
We need to nationalize the means of production. Wait, what?
Huh. Alex also says that the globalists are racing to get their social credit score in place by way of vaccine passports, but this whole report was predicated on the idea that because of the massive pushback that Alex has helped foster, all of these countries were simultaneously dropping all COVID restrictions and backing off.
Sure.
These things are nonsensical.
They're backing off for right now, but they're still holding them over your shoulder. It's just like, I'm going to get you.
Alex's extemporaneous speech is full of contradictions because details and reality honestly just don't matter to him. He's basically just trying to fuck with the listener's feelings at this point. The only real point he's making is, once again, trying to make sure that no one blames him for any possible right-wing anti-vax terrorism in the future. It's really strange how Alex hasn't brought up that his former guest, the head of the Proud Boys militant arm, the Fraternal Order of the Alt-Knights, Based Stickman, a.k.a. Kyle Chapman, was recently arrested for allegedly attacking healthcare workers in Idaho. There's that other guy who attacked vaccination site in California, but that dude wasn't a regular past guest on InfoWars.
Right.
Alex knows that the level of tension is rising to a point where more attacks on vaccination providers is not out of the question, and he doesn't want to be in trouble when that does happen or could happen, and he wants to be able to profit off them. So that's how he acts. This is what he does.
I wonder if at the InfoWars office they have like not March Madness, but like almost a tontine, you know, of like, which of these people is going to go to jail, and whomever is the last one,
man,
gets all the money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. If you had that kind of a gambling pool, Based Stickman
way out.
Yeah. Low odds. You're not going to make much money for betting on Based Stickman.
No. But I do think that would be kind of a fun thing to have at InfoWars as a tontine. I think they should do that.
I remember the period of time when Based Stickman was coming on Alex's show, and I would turn it on, and I'd be like, what is happening?
And now it's like, oh, well, Based Stickman was...
it's probably a government provocateur.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, and even then, it's almost tame. Mm-hmm. Like, of course you have a guy named Based Stickman on your fucking show. What else do you have? You've got a kid who's just smashes shit. Who fucking cares?
Yeah. Ugh. It was a simpler time back when Alex was interviewing Based Stickman.
It really was.
Those were the days.
Those were.
So Alex at the beginning of this said that there were three stories that he was going to cover.
Mm-hmm.
This has been one.
Yes.
I'll just give you the second. And
then
third.
Barry Weiss was two.
No, that was still part of this
one. That was
one.
Still part of one.
It was part
okay.
of the vaccine awakening being victorious,
right.
except
right,
it's
right,
actually
right.
not.
Right.
And you're all going to die.
Sure.
So the second narrative is about Russia and Ukraine.
Okay.
And then the third is about a prediction that Alex has about winter storms.
Okay.
So these are the three big news stories.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to give you this one pretty quick because Alex is just saying with Russia and Ukraine that no matter what happens, Russia is the good guy.
Cool.
That leads me to these huge reports right here. Giant pallets, billions of dollars of anti-tank missiles, anti-aircraft missiles, you name it, being delivered and being put on the U.S. State Department Twitter website, masses of U.S. and NATO troops forming all around the borders with Ukraine, while telling you that Russia is imminently about to invade Ukraine. The reason Russia's building troops up is they see the buildup of the West. Russia doesn't have a history since the early 1980s of invading any country.
Oh, wow. That's
what?
Strange sentence.
That's, hey, can't argue with that.
Sure.
They annexed Crimea, but they didn't invade.
That doesn't mean anything, and Alex phrasing things that way is just because it's convenient for his narrative.
That's bananas.
Further, the situation that we're seeing in Ukraine has been going on a while. On December 3rd, 2021, the Washington Post reported on massive movements of Russian troops to the border in Ukraine. Like, there's a tense situation, and it's really complicated. I'm not going to dig into it too deeply today, but the point I want to make is that it's very clear that Alex is presenting a distorted version of events in order to be able to sell his narrative that no matter what happens, Russia is in the right.
Right.
It seems like a strange position for someone who's a staunch anti-communist, but it does make sense because Satan and the Democratic Party, those are the real commies.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so like, I think he also is just pissed that people are talking about the potential of a false flag.
Right.
That's his turf.
It's really, I read all about like the government, the United States government literally being like, they're going to launch a false flag. And I felt like Alex was like, you bastard.
That's mine.
That's my shit.
Well, the globalists always invert and project what they're doing. They have the history. They have the motive. They've massed the troops first. So I would look for them to attack Russian forces so that when Russian forces defend themselves, they'll claim it's a false flag. Or to attack Ukrainian forces and to say that Russia did it and then a major war is launched and now you have Biden's 2022 midterm election plan to get Americans unified behind a proxy war with Russia.
I don't know if that's like a necessary midterm strategy.
Well, I mean, you don't want to lose control of Congress, so you should probably risk an all-out total nuclear war.
It seems dumb.
Well,
but if you pay attention there, Alex has essentially convinced himself and is preaching to the audience that no matter what happens, Russia's the victim. If Russia attacks, it was because the globalists secretly attacked them first to provoke the attack. Or
it was
maybe
a false flag.
Maybe the globalists will attack Ukrainian forces to blame it on Russia. But no matter what, if hostilities break out, Alex is already determined that the globalists will pull the false flag based on nothing except his imaginary track record of the globalists pulling false flags.
Yep.
And let's be clear. Alex's track record of accusing the globalists of pulling false flags is horrific. He's constantly wrong about pretty much everything he calls a false flag, and I'm only saying pretty much because there's some situations where it's still unclear exactly what happened, and I'm just not going to make a determination on it. Literally everything that happens, or Alex imagines, is going to happen is a globalist false flag, and then it never actually is.
Mm.
It's all in his head, and it's a way for him to preserve his worldview when reality is constantly proving him wrong.
Right. Right, right.
That's just rank denial of reality.
At one point, wasn't the missing Malaysian plane a false flag?
See, that was something.
I want to say that was a false flag.
I know that it was. I do know that he said it was, but yes. I couldn't remember the exact specifics
right,
of it, so I decided I wasn't going to bring it up, but yeah, it is.
Yeah, he said, yeah.
Everything is.
Everything is a false flag.
Literally
yeah.
Everything.
It's crazy.
And like local things even.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. The designation of a park is a false flag. That's the globalists trying to take over public land.
The cat coffee place was a false flag.
Well, yeah, that was the communists trying to attack
exactly.
The cat cafe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What are we doing?
So anyway, that's about it that Alex has to say about Russia, but he's got some insane lies about last year's storm that hit Texas and caused
that
power outage.
That makes way more sense than knowing anything about Ukraine.
Yeah.
And this hits really close to home. This is out of Dallas-Fort Worth, CBS Local. And this is my frustration a year ago at this time, almost a year ago. 6 days before, a giant blue northern polar vortex was going to be coming down. The National Weather Survey, NOAA, told Texas, you're going to have serious freezing temperatures and you better get your power output up because people are going to double and triple their power usage and it's going to cause your system to go down. The state of Texas, 4 days before the blizzard hit, sent messages to the Biden administration in early February and said, we need authorization to turn up our gas plants and our coal plants because the solar plants and the windmills will not deliver enough power even if there wasn't a storm. The federal government refused the emergency authorization. Under law, you've got to get authorization and pay millions a day in fines, or you go to prison. You get indicted.
This is a completely made-up story about what happened to cause the storm to be so bad and the power outages so severe last year. And it's painfully obvious why Alex has come up with this piece of fiction to explain things. The problem was largely based on the fact that Texas's power grid was separate from the national grids because they wanted to evade federal regulation and oversight. Since their power is supplied and operated by deregulated private entities, they naturally did things to maximize their profits, and that meant cutting corners in things like weather protections for stuff like ice storms, which are uncommon in Texas. There was a big blizzard back in 2011, and it caused a bunch of blackouts, after which it was recommended that precautions be taken in case this happened again, but it's all unregulated. There wasn't any mechanism to force anybody to take these precautions, so they didn't. When the 2021 giant winter storm hit, their power sources were ill-equipped to operate in freezing conditions, and this caused the wattage output to go down. Adding to the problem is the fact that the state's power grid is disconnected from other states, which are on the federal grids, and because of that, it was really hard to redirect power from other operating grids into Texas's grid.
Yeah.
This is a story of the complete failure of Alex's political and institutional ideology. The power grid was run exactly how he would have wanted it to be, and the natural consequences of that are incidents like last year's blizzard and power outage that left hundreds dead and caused billions in damages. Alex is just a coward, and he can't accept that the things he advocates caused this power failure. So he has to make up a fun story where it's actually the federal government sabotaging Texas by not allowing them to produce
turbines.
Energy. It's not true, and this is really sad.
Yeah.
So Alex has got to lie more.
Here I was, 11 and a half months ago, reading the actual state of Texas statements about let us turn our power on, and the feds said no. They wouldn't even let Texas pay the fines.
Alex's reporting of this letter was here is based on an entire, like, it's a total lie. He was saying that ERCOT had sent a letter to the Department of Energy and they denied their request to be able to produce more power. Alex failed to report in a piece that he posted last February 20th that Acting Department of Energy Secretary David Huizenga had actually accepted and approved ERCOT's request 6 days prior on February 14th.
Yeah.
Alex was making shit up back then, and he's continuing to now because he's an asshole, and he lies to about the world in order to make it fit his extremist ideology.
Yeah.
Nothing more is going on here.
There's no way to admit that it's your fault and still be a fascist. An unregulated, pro-fucking capitalism-ass fascist. You can't look at that and be like, oh, well, maybe we should accept other points of view.
Sure. So we got, like, this is Alex's bullshit about last year. And now there's winter storms that are threatening in Texas, you know, like there's been some forecasts.
Right.
And so this is hot on Alex's mind again.
Of course.
And he's read a story that he's totally wrong about.
No, I bet he's right.
And the media a year ago wouldn't tell the truth. Will they tell the truth now? You read
probably
this article, it doesn't even explain that. Pipeline company threatening to cut off natural gas service to 5 Texas power plants. Headline should be, power company told by feds they can't operate during storm.
Not true. So this is a really false interpretation of this story about Texas pipelines. Let me give you the breakdown.
Okay.
This was about a company called Energy Transfer LP having a financial dispute with the company that runs these 5 power plants, Vista Corp. They racked up a huge bill from the storm last year, and now Energy Transfer was threatening to cut off the gas to these power plants. So Vista appealed to the Railroad Commission to step in and say that they can't do that, particularly during the winter, since that would be dangerous. By January 20th, 2 days before Alex's recording this special report, Energy Transfer had withdrawn their threat, which kicks the can down the road a bit. The financial dispute is still there, but the gas is going to keep flowing. Anyway, this has nothing to do with the federal government telling people they can't make more energy. That is completely made up by Alex and has nothing to do with this story.
It seems more like VistaCorp just doesn't want to pay the bill.
But also, they were put in a position where bills were made considerably higher because of, I don't know, you want to call it price gouging?
Right, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the, you could accept that you fucked up, or you could just tell people you're not going to pay them.
I think that in this instance, from what I can tell, I don't know, like, I guess if you're like a real markets type person, you'd be like, well, they have a bill and the people are demanding they pay, so they're in the wrong.
That's what Alex is.
Right.
You know?
But I think you could also look at it and be like, well, this company that's supplying the gas is like, this is kind of light extortion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not the power plants that suffer, it's the customers that those power plants
They're fucking
service.
Everybody over.
Right. Anyway, the point, too, is that, like, Alex is totally wrong about what this story is about. He's making up a federal government line in it. And then he's also not telling his audience that it had been resolved 2 days prior.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even relevant by the time he's on air.
I mean, but it was there's a headline. You got a headline, so fucking just because it doesn't mean anything anymore doesn't mean you don't have the headline.
Sure.
And he, there, man.
And he reads a little bit of the article, and it's just dismal.
Oh, boy.
Because when you go read the article, it's the truth. And they say, oh, yeah, they're not giving an emergency authorization, and so they're not going to do it. The feds are ordering it turned off. It goes on. The pipeline company, Emergency Transfer LP, which is run by Dallas billionaire Kelly Warren, says Luminant needs to pay $21 million in penalties for oversupplying natural gas during the last deadly freeze that knocked off gas pipelines, contributing to power outages that left many Texans in the dark for days when the state was experiencing unusually frigid temperatures. And then it goes on to say they're not going to pay them again. So I'm going to explain it again. The feds don't let you turn the power on. $21 million, $25 million. Some days they were paying fines higher than that because they went ahead and operated with the fines. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. And we live in idiocracy.
The $21 million figure that Alex is citing isn't government fines. It's the amount that Energy Transfer was demanding that Luminant, which is a subsidiary of Vistra, pay if they wanted to continue pumping gas. It's a debt that they demanded be paid, not a fine from the federal government. Even as Alex is reading this, you can tell that he's struggling to make this fit his narrative, since it's another, you know, it's a company that's run by an oil billionaire who's demanding payment, not the government. And as he's going through it, you can hear his mind trying to insert words here and there.
Yeah.
Like,
you just want to sit there and be like, Alex, you realize that what you read, the government was not mentioned, and it explained the money.
Oh, yeah.
It was all in there that you read that it was the billionaire. Remember when you read out loud billionaire as though that was the good guy in the story?
Yeah, and it's I don't understand how he expects that to not be like the most embarrassing read.
I don't know.
Imaginable. Anyway, this is a story that Alex is reporting based entirely on making shit up, because the reality of the situation is actually a scathing indictment of capitalism and deregulation.
Yeah.
He can't deal with that, so instead he makes up a fantasy story to report to the audience because it's more fun.
Yeah.
Hey, let's be escapist and hide in this. Like, oh, the InfoWars tip of the spear. We're fighting the big fight. We're lying about headlines.
Oil barons. Says what? Am I supposed to be slightly less of a billionaire? The winner of this story.
And this is why it's really frustrating that Alex ends this report on like a really condescending note.
I just have to explain some of the stuff to the left. There's no helping him. Just remember, when the power's out, we have rolling blackouts. The government has blocked us, claiming that anything that has carbon is evil when your very body's made out of carbon. All right, here's the final big report. And I appreciate you all watching.
Ridiculous. He's decided that the government has blocked all carbon, whatever.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
I need to explain something to the left.
Right.
All right.
Please.
And that is that if you are made of both carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen, all of those things you can cram into your body in whatever ratio that you desire. Take a bunch of nitrogen, cram it right in your body. Only the left would think that it's a bad idea to cram nitrogen into your body. That's because they're dumb, Dan.
Totally
stupid.
Totally dumb.
Everybody wants nitrogen in their body right now. It protects from things.
So I think that this Saturday report was kind of, you know, there were some points of interest. I do think that Alex is trying to bail on some of the COVID stuff, or at least declare that victory in order to move on to scaring people about something else, like this cyber threat or...
Well, you know, spending less time of this special report on COVID than on Ukraine and weather storms is a good sign, right?
No, he spent way more time on COVID
stuff.
Oh, he
did? Shit! God damn it!
But he spent more time on it in the sense of, like, declaring victory, and all these governments
well,
are afraid
fair.
Of him
that's
and his
fair.
Anti-vax buddies.
Well, he is. They are afraid.
And so they have backed down until, they come with a cyber attack, which
right.
I guess...
Because Ukraine...
But I guess the cyber attack like isn't included in the things that they're afraid of from Alex and his awakened buddies.
That's true.
You'd think that they would just not pull anything.
Right.
If Alex
and his
buddies were onto their scheme.
No, they gotta poke at little holes in the defense of anti-vax peoples, you know? Like, next thing is going to be too many horses. And they're going to be like, we got to have a lockdown from all these fucking horses everywhere.
Yeah. I this is all dumb.
Yep.
I am interested to see what happens when Alex is back in studio.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be back to his old bullshit.
Right.
Back to being...
We're all going to die.
I assume that will be happening within the next week.
Everyone deserves it, too.
But I don't know. I think that he needed it. I think he needed to feel good. And so this is the way he did it by lying about Boris Johnson's shit. And then, you know, he got it out of his system and then decided to scare people more at the end.
You know, I mean, it is something that's a little bit enviable. Sometimes you need a win, you know? Sometimes you just need one and sometimes you don't get one. But imagine when you needed one, you could just say you got one and that was the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's a superpower.
Yeah, yeah. We should all be so lucky.
Yeah, just declare a win right now.
We've won.
We defeated InfoWars forever. With this episode, we won. We've pushed them back.
Uh-huh.
We did it.
We pushed them back until our next episode.
Obviously.
But in the meantime, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight. Go to bed, Jordan.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark, I'm Daryl Rundus.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.